Case number 08-1147, International Union, United Mine Workers of America, Petitioner versus Department of Labor et al. Ms. Rivlin for the petitioner, Mr. Waldman for the respondents.
May it please the court, I'm Judith Rivlin from the United Mine Workers of America. Sitting with me at council table is Dennis O'Dell, the administrator of health and safety for the union. I've reserved 5 minutes for rebuttal. After several multi-fatal disasters in underground coal mines in 2006, Congress enacted the Miner Act. And one of the purposes of the Miner Act was to improve and enhance the system we have for training and developing mine rescue teams throughout this country. There were significant failures in 2006, and Congress determined that the system needed revamping. In doing so, Congress set a number of minimum standards and then authorized and delegated to MSHA authority to fill out the regulations. But it was not given permission to diminish or reduce the basic requirements that Congress had included in the Miner Act. And we contend that in several particulars, MSHA did just that when it promulgated the final regulations. It impermissibly reduced the amount of times that mine site and state-sponsored teams have to train at small mines. It failed to require team members to participate in two different contests each year. It allowed exercises which were different than mine contests to substitute for mine rescue team contests. It excused state team members from a full 50% of the mine contests and the training requirements.
Can I ask you about one of those that sure. You mentioned, the two contests?
Yes, sir.
It seems to me that the final rule accommodated the concern expressed on that issue and does in fact require two contests.
It changed how it understands a contest. Previously, a contest was an event that had a certain set of parameters. MSHA establishes the rules for those things. And there were, as you can see from the joint appendix, it's about page 206 for about 15 or 20 pages, the calendars of what was considered a contest previously. And if you compare what MSHA did, or if you can see the effect of what MSHA did by allowing events to be deemed a contest regardless of how long they take, if you compare the exercises listed for Beckley, West Virginia on page 207 of the joint appendix with the two-day events that are listed on pages 210 and 213 of the joint appendix, which preceded the rule, which were two-day events that were conducted before the rule took effect,
Some were, some weren't.
Right. Some were 2 days and some were not, clearly.
Some
but
were one day.
That's correct. But previously, a two-day event was still considered a contest. They list the different contests, and each entry is one. And when you get to 2008, for the first time, they include a two-day, two-problem event on page 207 of the joint appendix and suggest that if a team participated in both of those, it would meet its obligations for two contests. And that's clearly different than what Congress understood to be two contests when it enacted the Miner Act and when the rulemaking began.
Okay, your brief says that the final rule permits teams to participate in just one contest if it lasts 2 days.
Right, and I would suggest that that event that's described on page 207, the 2008 two-day, two-problem event, that that's still one contest within the meaning of the pre-Minor Act understanding of a contest.
The rule on its face doesn't seem to match up with what you say in the brief on that particular issue. It does seem to require two contests, and then it defines what a contest is.
Well, it's I guess that's pretty circular reasoning, if I may.
Maybe it's not being applied the way you want it, but the rule seems to require two contests.
The rule may say two contests, but it really doesn't mean two contests. And what they say in the preamble and how they're interpreting and what they're doing with it is a complete walking away from the language of.
We have before us what they're doing with it.
Well, the preamble describes how what they're doing with it, and you can't separate
how they're applying it. We don't really have that before us, do we? We have the rule.
We have the rule, and the rule by the preamble, which helps define what the rule says. The preamble shows that the words of the rule are meaningless. So I think you have that before you. The other ways in which the agency walked away from the statutory requirements was allowing state team members to be exempt from 50% of the training and from allowing the state employees who judge a contest to count that as participation. So they only have to have one contest to begin with, and sitting as a judge will satisfy the participation. The final way in which they walked away from the plain language of the statute is in the certification process. The Act required MSHA to certify, to develop criteria to certify teams. It didn't say that operators could certify team members. It was to establish
criteria. Develop criteria to certify teams is different than certify teams.
It was to develop, it sort of depends on how you say it. I mean, perhaps you could say that's ambiguous, but they were to develop criteria to certify teams. It wasn't to have team members certified. So that's another way in which they walked away from the obligations that Congress set forth.
That doesn't parse.
I'm sorry?
It just doesn't parse grammatically. They developed the criteria. The statute just doesn't say who's supposed to apply them.
Well, there are two parts of this. One, to develop criteria to certify teams, and all they've done is to have criteria to show that team members have met certain requirements. But the understanding was is that MSHA would be the party doing it. And it's curious because
the latter part, that I want to focus on. Where's that understanding?
I'm sorry.
Where's that understanding expressed? You say you understand it, but I don't see it on the page.
Well, the MSHA was to certify mine rescue teams. Okay? I'm sorry. There are two parts to this. One is who does the certifying and what is it they certify. And they are supposed to certify teams, not just team members.
Okay, that's one issue.
That's one issue.
The other is who's doing the
certifying.
Okay, it's the latter one.
That's less clear. I will concede that is.
Well, it's not
they talk about criteria.
If it's not conclusive, then they win, right, under Chevron.
Under Chevron, if it's not conclusive, they win on who is the certifying party.
So can we consider that matter settled?
No, because it still says that it's, in terms of who does the certifying, perhaps, but let me just point out that at the same time that MSHA says that one of the defenses they have for their alternative exercises is that they, for their mine emergency response exercises, there's an objective. There's an objective, the judges do objective review of them, but then that's irrelevant to the certification process. So on the one hand, there's a requirement for objectivity. On the other hand, when they actually ask the operator to do certification, there's no objectivity, and you've got the operators who, in many instances, employ these team members who are certifying it.
We find the objective criteria point?
When MSHA talks about, when you look at the definition of what is or the explanation of what they will consider a MERD, it's the last section of the statute. They set forth, they have to have a declared winner, and it has to be by a certified judge. But they don't use that objectivity when they end up.
Section of the statute?
No, I'm sorry. I'm the last of the regulations, 49.60, I think?
60.
Yes. So they don't. They walk away from that objectivity when they have the certification process. And if you know, just reading yesterday's Washington Post, where you see that Michael Chertoff has people who he thinks are certified to be documented workers cleaning his house, they're not. So a paper certification is far different than having some kind of an objective test where MSHA is reviewing them and MSHA is observing their qualification.
The regulation now that I have in front of me says a local mine rescue contest is training that provides an objective evaluation. That's where you're...
Right. I don't have a problem with the contest. It's when you look at the MERD, which is the final exercise, right. Which is the alternative.
And why is that not part of an objective evaluation?
Well, that is an objective. That is an objective evaluation, but that's irrelevant to the certification process. That's not part of the certification process.
I'm sorry, what's the certification regulation that is you're attacking?
Because I
thought that the objection was simply to who did it, not the criteria.
It's both.
Applied.
And if you look, the easiest way of looking at it is if you look at on page 48 and 49, it's a certification that the operator can fill out, which MSHA will accept. It doesn't require this format, but it accepts this kind of a certification. And you can see that it characterizes mine rescue team qualifications, but it's really team members' qualifications. And there's no evidence that the team itself has operated together in a satisfactory manner.
So is your concern that the team could never even come together, but the individuals could be evaluated for their performance?
Yes, that is a concern. In order to participate, to be perfectly honest, in order to participate in a mine rescue contest, you have to have a certain number of your team members participating. So if they've met that, they should have their team members together, but it still doesn't show that the team functions effectively. You could have, 15 teams participating, and one of the teams could fail the exercise. It could blow up the mine and be removed from the exercise, but it still would have deemed him participating. And I submit that that is not what Congress expected to be required when they included the set of requirements that people meet a certain standard and that we were trying to increase and enhance the quality of our mine rescue teams.
You're saying that there's no way to fail the test.
Well, you
the
can.
Contest, I mean, the contest.
You can fail a contest, but MSHA's
it
does.
Win, but it still counts as having participated.
And it satisfies MSHA certification.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I don't care whether some people fail, but you have to, in order to be certified to be a competent team, you should require more than that kind of participation.
Where is it in your opening brief that you raised the argument about the quality of the criteria?
It's argument five of the, I'm sorry. It's talking about the teams in general, and it's the page 27 of the brief. We're talking about the deviated when it delegated to operators the responsibility for certifying the qualifications of mine rescue teams. So it's not just mine rescue members, but mine rescue teams.
I thought you were talking about who the certifier is.
It's both.
Yeah, that's what the heading says.
Not operators. MSHA, not operators.
It is, but it's included in the argument is the concept that the teams need to be certified, and the teams are not being certified by the process MSHA has adopted.
Does that become more clear somewhere in this argument?
I think the reply brief does a better job of clarifying it, but it's included within the argument. By each time we talk about it, we talk about the mine rescue teams. In the quote, in the middle of the page of 27, it provides that as part of its requirement to certify teams, MSHA should establish detailed qualifications. In this last paragraph on page 28, the final rule reinstated the same paperwork process whereby operators, not the government, determine if mine rescue teams are sufficiently trained.
I must say that is, while those words are there, in each of the sentences you've just read, the contrast that's set up is operators, not the government here, or in the other one, delegates to operators for certifying teams. I mean, the gist in the heading as well. In the reply brief, where does it appear?
Argument number 5.
Page 14.
That's the one that the respondents wished stricken.
Now here, team is emphasized with the word team underlined and italicized.
Right. The heading still talks about team members, but we're talking about the team, whether the team is competent. I mean, the important thing to remember is that MSHA is governed. MSHA is obligated to protect minors.
But where, okay, what provision in the statute is being violated by what they're doing? The provision that says the Mine Safety and Health Administration shall establish and update every 5 years thereafter criteria to certify the qualifications of mine rescue teams?
Mine rescue teams, not team members, teams. And this this certification process only looks to team members. It doesn't look to whether the team is competent. And that is a problem for all miners, as well as the mine rescue teams themselves when they're engaged in a rescue effort.
Is there statutory language that draws a clear distinction between teams composed of competent members and teams that as a unit are?
I don't believe there is, sir.
Yeah. Because if you're talking about competent teams, it's not obviously crazy to say that means teams with competent members.
That's true, but it's the procedure that MSHA has adopted does not get us there. Because they don't use the objective criteria. They just use a checklist, and the checklist may not suffice. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Riffle.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Ed Waldman. I represent the Secretary of Labor and the Acting Assistant Secretary for Mine Safety and Health. The respondents in this case, I'll refer to them jointly as the secretary for the sake of convenience. Let's take a step back for a moment. Section 4 of the Miner Act was intended to improve mine rescue services by providing or by ensuring that there are well-trained teams whose members are familiar with the particular mines that they are serving.
I'm not surprised you're starting your argument by taking a step back from the statutory language, because the statutory language is very problematic for you. How do you want to talk about the semi-annual requirement,
Sure.
The first issue?
Sure.
How do you get around a clear statutory requirement that refers to semi-annual?
Well, semi-annual is not the issue. The issue is whether the scope of that provision. That provision clearly requires semi-annual training. Question is, who does it apply to?
Well, that's pretty clear, too. The operator of each underground coal mine with 36 or less employees.
Well, if you read the entire section of the statute, though, the statute goes on to list 6 criteria that have to be met by the members of those teams. And the 6 criteria are listed in the conjunctive form, so that all 6 have to be met. And the 6th one can only be satisfied by members of contract mine rescue teams.
Well, if that's a problem,
so it follows that what? What follows from that?
What follows from that is that the only team members who can meet the criteria of the small mine provision are members of contract mine rescue teams. And the conclusion that the secretary has drawn from that is that the small mine provision applies only to contract mine rescue teams. And it is silent with regard to other types of mine rescue teams.
And you really think that's what Congress intended? To go back to your take-a-step-back point.
I think it's very difficult to determine from Congress's language what it meant, what it intended. It's
what would be a way of trying to give meaning to all as much meaning as possible to all the words.
I think what
the meaning you ascribe to Congress seems to, first place, make the whole section inapplicable to what one would think would be a huge sphere of mine safety team activity, rescue team activity. Right? You just throw it out for all non-contract teams, right?
That particular section, yes, but you've got to remember.
Well, all six. I mean, when you say that particular section, you
the
mean
the small mine provision, including the six criteria.
Yes.
That applies only to contract mine rescue teams. But you've got to remember here that in the big picture, where I started out, what Congress has done here is directed the Secretary of Labor to promulgate regulations to implement Section 4 and has provided certain minimum criteria that must be included in the regulations.
Right.
So the fact that Congress didn't include in its statutory language anything that was directed to non-contract teams serving small mines doesn't mean that Congress intended to let those go unregulated. It means that Congress intended the Secretary, within the Secretary's discretion, to promulgate regulations regarding those teams. But Congress didn't feel it was necessary to put those provisions in the statute.
That's quite an unnatural reading of each underground coal mine.
It's not a reading of that word, Your Honor. The problem comes...
Okay, it's an unnatural gutting of that term, then.
I disagree, because it's not that term that we're looking at, Judge Kavanaugh. The term mine rescue teams is clear.
Your argument is because of one of the requirements can't apply to certain mines, that we throw it out for these whole categories of mines, all the requirements. That's a pretty unusual remedy for a statutory drafting error.
Well, if it's a statutory drafting error, that's certainly not what the Secretary has argued. The Secretary has argued that the statute is ambiguous. And I think that what I'm hearing is that nobody is questioning that it's difficult to understand what Congress meant by including a list of six criteria supposedly applicable to all mines, but then the criteria can only be met by members of
one of the criteria, one out of six.
Yeah, but in order to satisfy
the other five too for all non-contract teams.
That's correct, Judge Williams. But because they're written in the conjunctive, in order to satisfy the small mine provision as a whole, each individual member has to satisfy all six, which means that only contract team members.
I understand the argument.
Yeah.
Can I go to the MERD exercises? How are those contests?
Oh, how are those contests?
I'm sorry. How do those qualify as contests?
Congress didn't define the term mine rescue contest. And although the union argues that there was an understanding previously, the union hasn't specified anywhere exactly what that understanding was.
Doesn't a contest usually have a winner?
Yes.
Okay, do the MERD exercises have a winner?
In order to qualify as a contest, yes, it must have a winner. A MERD contest is stated in the regulations not that it is a mine rescue contest, but that it can be a mine rescue contest.
So not all MERD exercises.
That's correct.
Will qualify as contests.
That's correct. And in fact, the Department of Labor has published guidance on that, which
I saw that.
Yeah. So the criteria, in order for a MERD to qualify as a contest, it has to have the same elements as a contest. Regarding the certification issue that the union discussed with the court, I'd like to go back to something Judge Williams had mentioned, with the distinction between who does the certifying and what the substantive requirements are for certification. And the union really didn't raise that second argument regarding the substantive criteria until its reply brief for the first time. And so we filed a motion to strike, which is pending with the court. So that we don't think that issue is properly before the court.
How would you respond to that argument, though, on the merits, if it were before?
On the merits, I think that as the regulations state with regard to the contests and the merits, for that matter, that those constitute an objective evaluation because they're judged, and the judges are required to make a written evaluation of each team's performance. And
is there anything in the regulations that makes an adequate score in the context essential for certification?
Not in the regulations, there's not. In the preamble, there's a suggestion that the judges are to evaluate the teams on certain criteria to see if they have minimally acceptable skills. And I think the department's understanding of the regulation based on the preamble is that if a judge determines that a particular team's performance is not acceptable, then that would be reflected in the written evaluation. And at that point, it would not be permissible for the operator to certify that team as qualified because it hasn't.
So you would have that understanding embodied in an opinion upholding that aspect of the regulation.
I think that's embodied.
At least you'd have no objection to that.
No, not at all, because that's what the preamble says.
Yeah. Speaking of evaluation, part of the regulation allows people to meet the requirement by serving as judges, but there's no way in which they are evaluated, right?
That's correct. The judges aren't evaluated, although they do have to. They are required to have annual training, and they can have their certification as judges revoked.
Right, but the function of the contest as to them, a key function of the contest is missing, is it not?
The evaluation?
Yes.
That's true. That's true. Of course, the statute doesn't say an evaluation is required either. The statute says that participation is required. And participation can be in the form of a judge.
But if a key function of the contest is for the evaluation of the participants,
yes,
and some people participate in a way where they're not subject to evaluation, then it seems questionable whether they're meeting the contest requirement in a meaningful way.
Well, the people who are participating are judges or state employees. They are they're members of state-sponsored teams. They're state employees, and they're being allowed to participate as a judge because of the skills and knowledge that they've gained as state employees in their everyday jobs, which are these are safety professionals. They are people who are doing safety and health inspections in these underground coal mines every day as their regular job, and or giving mine rescue training. And so as a result of that, those skills and knowledge, it's those are the people who are allowed to participate as judges as opposed to contestants. That's the rationale for allowing those individuals to participate as judges. And that is consistent with the fact that the judges are not necessarily evaluated as part of their participation.
But the statute does, without apparent qualification, require that the teams have members who have participated in the contests.
Yes.
Contest with its presumably normal meaning.
Correct. The normal meaning of participate is they're participating in the contest by judging.
That's, I don't know, but you said that's the normal meeting? Participate in something that's supposed to be for training?
Yes.
By judging it?
Okay. Well, the members of the team, first of all, they're the ones, the judges who are the state employees who are participating as judges, also receive a training benefit because they're the ones who devise the problems. They're the ones who evaluate the team's performance, and they're the ones who also have to devise the solutions to the problems, and they've got to work together, and they've got to think their way through these problems.
Taking a step back again to the crises that caused the statute, wasn't part of the problem that rescue teams weren't familiar with actually getting in and having been properly trained in doing it beforehand, or is that not right?
Yes, and I think to address that particular problem, you go to the portion of the statute that talks about training at the mines that are being covered. I mean, I don't think that the rescue contest necessarily was devised to address that particular problem.
Okay.
What if the secretary had simply said that the state employees need not participate in any contest at all? Because your argument in favor of their being allowed to participate as judges seems to rest primarily on the proposition that without the contests, they're established as high quality rescuers.
They are, but the secretary has not excused them.
But you agree that on your theory, she could have.
No, I'm not agreeing with that, Your Honor.
You are. Okay.
The secretary determined that based on their skills and experience and knowledge, that they fulfilled half of the requirement. I'm out of time.
No, but then the half that they don't, the half that they fulfill by participation as judges.
Yes.
You essentially. Well, why could that not be removed, consistent with your vision of the statute?
I'm not sure if what you're asking.
On your theory of the training and qualifications of the state employees,
yes.
Why is it necessary under the statute for them to participate in contests at all?
Well, the statute requires participation in contests, and the secretary requires them to participate in contests. But the secretary requires them to participate in fewer contests than are required on the theory that they have the skills and knowledge, at least part of the skills and knowledge that they need. I guess
what I'm saying to you fits into the category of suggesting that your argument proves too much.
Well, the
proves
other...
more than you may
okay,
want to go.
If I could make one last point, I'm over my time and I don't want to go too far, but the secretary also was trying to... There was a tension between the portion of the statute that requires participation in two local mine rescue contests with respect to state employees, and one of the purposes of the act, which says that cooperation with the states in enforcing state mine safety and health programs is a goal of the statute. And to the extent that the secretary is requiring state employees to participate in these contests, she's taking them away from their state mine safety and health inspections. And so in order to accommodate the tension between those two statutory provisions, the other one being to cooperate with the statutes, with the state's enforcement programs, the secretary balanced those two and arrived at what she thought was a reasonable accommodation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Waldman. Okay, we'll give you a minute for rebuttal.
I have just a few matters to raise. Cooperation is with the state teams is not a statutory provision. It may have some language in the Senate report, but the statute simply states they have to have two contests, and it's for everybody. And to the extent that Congress provided that state teams was one of the ways of complying, there was no exception for state team members not participating in contests.
You actually draw on the Senate report as well.
That's true, but there's a limitation. There's the statute itself is the clearest, and it says everybody's got to participate in two contests. Any operator can use a state team. They can use a private contract team. They can use their mine site team or a composite. There's nothing saying which ones you have to take.
What's the judging issue, participating as judges? Can I hear your response to the argument on that? Why isn't that participating?
Because that's not engaging in the team exercise. There's an expectation. There's a common understanding of what's participation in a team in a contest. For a mine rescue team, is made up of 5 members or 7 members working together on an exercise and going through the project.
The term is participate in the contest, right?
That's correct. Judging is different than engaging. That's my argument.
Well, I mean, if the statute said participate in a team in a contest,
all team members have to participate in contests, and a mine rescue contest is defined as something that engages a team consisting of 5 to 7 members. So a contest requires members to participate as a team. That's what a mine rescue team contest is. The one or two other things I just want to mention quickly is that many teams engage in lots more training than is required. There are lots of highly skilled, trained teams. What Congress was trying to do was to raise the level so that the minimally trained all do better. And we're concerned that what MSHA has done has lowered the floor that Congress set.
Was I right that one of the problems in some of the disasters was that some of the teams were not properly trained?
Yes.
Okay. Were they state teams?
The ones that were at most issue were not. It was a contract team at the Sago mine, which was the disaster in January of 2006, which started the string of disasters that year.
Is it a fair generalization that the state teams are not at the low end that need to be raised up?
That may be true. I honestly don't have the knowledge myself. The last thing I just want to say, I believe counsel said that the state teams don't have to be certified, and if that's true, that would be walking away from the statute in a way I had not previously appreciated, because the operator is responsible for filling out the certification. So presumably an operator relying on state teams for its primary coverage would have to establish that its team members did all these things. And if they're suggesting that state teams don't have to go through that would be a deviation that we had not previously appreciated and which is not set forth anywhere in the regulation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Riven. Mr. Welton, thank you. Case is submitted.